As we get older, the stories get older and longer. But that's all we have left. We appreciate it. It's good to see a longtime friend in our audience tonight, Brother James Andrews. He has known us since we were kids back in 1967. And we're glad to see him in our presence tonight. Thank you, Brother James. I don't know why he is still in the United States. He spent more time in the Caribbean than he spent here in this country. But we appreciate all the work that he has done, not only in St. Vincent, but especially in Jamaica. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read about four passages of Scripture together before we make any comments at all. The first one is Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Please open your Bibles and follow along with us. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth, or bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The next scripture is Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have he made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of his saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Isn't that wonderful work? The preacher doesn't have to do all the work. You've got to do some too. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 through 15. Paul writes, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, or false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works. And here's another, Galatians chapter 1, verse verses 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that he have received, let him be accursed. Now we can write this one down, and I'm not going to read it. 2 John verses 7 through 9. 2 John 7 through 9. Just follow me for a minute as I use syllogism to make some statements. These scriptures that we have just read point out beyond any doubt that there are some things that God has not left to us to change, to modify, to dissect, to alter, or to transform. Now listen to these statements or these arguments. If there is vain worship, as we read in Matthew 15, then there must be someone who conducts that worship. Then there are false teachers. Number two, if there are false teachers, then they must teach somewhere. Therefore, there are false churches. If Satan's ministers can transform themselves to look like angels, then there are some churches of Satan that look just like the Church of Christ. Therefore, we ought to give consideration to the fact that there's counterfeit religion out there. And when we say out there, we must be careful, because it is not out there, always out there in the denominational world, but even among us. Now God warns, in the scriptures there are three strategic places that God had placed warnings. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 2, God says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that he may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And then in the middle of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 6. The Bible says, and add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. And then at the very end of the Bible, Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19. John writes, for I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, after Paul had discussed the miraculous gifts in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13 and 14, at the end of chapter 14, after Paul had just said something about the place of the woman in the assembly, notice what he says in verse 38. Of 1 Corinthians 14, he said, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. By this we say, some folks are so fixed in their ways that regardless of what the Bible says on any subject, they are going to do their own things regardless. And the there's nothing you and I can say and do about it. But Paul had already spoken. Now, if we must say it the way that we're supposed to say it, Brother West, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And by this, Paul means no good thing. He is simply saying what I have said in the previous verse. He said what I have said came from God, not from me. But despite what has been said, there are those who would not agree to the word of God. But the question before us tonight, as we have read those passages, how do we best illustrate the message of counterfeit religion today? How do we best teach a lesson that you might understand? So we have to go over to the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Where the Bible says, for whatsoever things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And that as we open up this New Testament, you and I need to see that what is in the New Testament had already been prefigured in the Old Testament. And so, to teach this lesson tonight, we have to go over to the book of 1 Kings chapter 12 and show you that what is happening today is nothing new. But God has already talked about it, but God intends that we would have already learned about it and would have escaped the damnation that is there in establishing counterfeit religion. Now we have to show you that what we see in religion today is something that Paul said was going to happen to the church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 29 beginning, as the apostle Paul met the elders of the church at Ephesus, he said to them, for I know this, that after my departure, grievous words will come among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the first 5 verses, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God had created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now listen, again, how do we best teach this lesson? Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 12. And this is the story of a man called Jeroboam. Now, remember, Jeroboam at first was a very ambitious man, even when Solomon was alive, to the extent that he was chased away and had run away from Solomon. And after Solomon died, his son Rehoboam took the reins of Israel. And the old men wanted to know which direction he was going for that matter. He asked for some advice, which we'll see later. And he called the old men in and he asked them, how can I best judge this people? And the old men said, son, your father taxed the people much. And it would be advantageous for you to reduce those taxes and not lay the burdens on these people. So he told the young men, the old men, thank you so much. Go on back to your home and I'll call you back in a few days. Then he went among his contemporaries, and he'd listen good now. And he sought the advice of his contemporaries. And they said, boy, you got the power. You got the power. Man, if I were you, this is my own way of saying it, if I were you, I would increase the burdens on these people. Show them who is in charge. And he listened to the advice of his contemporaries, the young men. And so it was, the old men returned home and they planned together. and they seceded from the kingdom. So there were two tribes down there in Jerusalem, and that's where Rehoboam went, and Jeroboam ruled the 10 tribes. And this is where the story begins. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse number 26. Jeroboam is now ruling. You need to understand something now, that Jeroboam is not the king by chance. God, who knows everything that is about to happen, always make preparation. He had those men send and bring Jeroboam back, because God knew what Rehoboam was going to do. Now, let me see if we can help you understand Jeroboam a little better, or even Rehoboam for that matter. You remember the story back in Numbers chapter 32 about the prophet called Balaam? How Balak sent for him to come and curse the Israelites who were coming into the land? And Balak offered Balaam some money and other such gifts if he would curse the people. Now Balaam, of course, went to God, but God did not want it to happen. So Balaam sent a message to Balak, says, "I can't do it." And Balak increased the money and sent back to Balaam and says, "If you do this, this is what I will give you." Guess what Balaam does? God has already given the word. But Balaam goes back to God and asks a second time, because Balak had offered more money. But it so happened after a while, God says, "Go ahead if that's what you want to do." So he got on his donkey, and they are traveling to go do the bidding of Balak. It seemed like they passed through a narrow area, and the donkey kind of passed close to the wall and may have bruised old Balaam's leg. And Balaam began to talk to the donkey and fussing with the donkey. And the donkey turned around and talked to Balaam. Now, anybody with common sense would know that a donkey don't talk. But if the donkey talks, there must be something unusual going on. But when we are so fixed on doing our own thing, even when a donkey talks, we don't realize something unusual has happened. When we would have, as Balaam did, made a donkey of himself. The Bible doesn't use the word donkey. The King James used the word ass. So Balaam made an ass of himself by not listening to the ass. And sometimes we are like that. And I want to show you tonight from Jeroboam's action, he made himself look just like Balaam. Let's see what happens. Look at verse number 26. Jeroboam is now thinking. You see, back at that time, worship was in Jerusalem. That's where Solomon had built the temple. That's where God's people would go to worship. Now Jeroboam began to reason with himself, says, "Look, if this people go to Jerusalem, who knows, maybe they will go back under Rehoboam and I will lose my kingdom." And so he began to reason. Look at verse 26. The Bible says, "And Jeroboam said in his heart." The heart is the center of all thinking activities. Now he says, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David." And then in verse 27 he said, "If this people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem." Let me pause here. It is an amazing thing that when we are bent on doing our own thing, It is always the people want it. No, it's not the people. It was on your mind. This is what you want to do. Listen, folks. Let me say this. In as much as I know that denominationalism is wrong, I want us to see that the type of the children of God in the Old Testament is the church. And what we see about God's people then, we are looking at God's people today, that there are Jeroboams in God's church who are only thinking of themselves, who split the church like Jeroboam did. Because of their own thoughts. Not because of what the Bible says, but because of their own selfish endeavors. There are just too many Jeroboams around today. If this people go up to Jerusalem, and then shall the heart of this people turn unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me. Do you see that? Let's ask him a question. Jeroboam, who gave you this kingdom? He forgot where he came from. Jeroboam, this kingdom did not come because of your intelligence, because of your goodness, because of your lineage. God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, nobody could take it out of your hands. So look at verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel. In other words, he got some advice from somewhere. And the advice he got told him to make two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This man must not be familiar with history. If he was familiar with his own history, he would have remembered what happened at the foot of Mount Sinai back in Exodus 32. When Aaron took the gold and the silver and cast it into some place, and it became a golden calf. And he would have remembered what Moses did. But he was not a student of history. He was too intelligent for his own good. Oh, there are some things I want to say, but you might not come back tomorrow night. Let's see what he did in verse 29. And he said, one in Bethel and the other in Dan. Notice now, he placed these so-called gods in strategic location. There is now no reason to go to Jerusalem. You just stay where you are. I've established two places of worship for you. Just go there and worship. Listen to verse 30. We're going to come back in a while, make some comments. And this thing, the Bible says, became a sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan, and he made high places and made priests of the lowest people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Now let's go back to the text. We're going to call Jeroboam the father of counterfeit religion. When we say counterfeit, we mean that which is spurious, that which is forged, that which is shady. When we look back at the first verse of chapter 12, we see the arrogance of old Rehoboam. We see the request by the Israelite leaders. We see the conditions, the counsel that he sought. We see the wise words of the old men and the wicked words of the young. And then listen, we see the reaction of the leaders, and then the split came. But listen, Jeroboam was a descendant from Joshua. Remember Joshua? The one who led the people out of the wilderness into the promised land? This is the man. Jeroboam came from. But this Jeroboam, instead of being like a family to Rehoboam, he became a ringleader in sin. He was only concerned about maintaining power and false pride. It didn't matter what he had to do, even if it meant changing God's word. He was going to keep and strengthen his power and his authority. The wise man said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, God says, I hate. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. In Proverbs 13:10, he says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Again, go back to verse 26 of our text. Jeroboam's religion originated in his heart. There are virtually two religions in this world. One has its origin in the I will of God, and the other in the I think of men. You must examine where you are and ask yourself the question, where did this church come from that I'm a member of? Where did it start and who started it? But going back to Jeroboam, let's see what this man did. He appointed a feast day. Remember now, he has two churches. There's one in Jerusalem that belongs to the Lord. And Jeroboam decides he's going to establish two. At least one of them got to be right. I don't know what he's thinking. But just like we find in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And then we find in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What am I suggesting? Man is not old enough, doesn't know enough, is not powerful enough to start a church of his own. That's what Jeroboam tried to do. He failed to listen to the old men who had grown up with others in the Lord, who had some advice, who had some knowledge, who had some wisdom. And so he went to the men of his age. And if we must pause today, we see a lot of our churches going away from the fold because the young men want something else. And sometimes some of the old men are so foolish following after the old men. Why don't we stick with the word of God? Remember what Jeremiah says, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. But you know what they said? We will not walk in these new, in the old paths. Listen. I, the Lord, search the heart, Jeremiah says. I try the reins even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doings. God is not going to allow you to do what you want, but there are consequences. There can never come a system of worship from man's heart to meet the claims of God and the need of the soul. Only God can do that. A revelation or a word from God is needed, and that word has been given. Anything opposed to this or a substitute for it is gross presumption and rebellion. Go back to verse 26 again. It was for his own selfish ends. Listen to him. Lest the people should go up to Jerusalem to worship and the hearts of the people had turned from himself. It was a religion that centered on his own personal honor and aggrandizement. Self is forever the center of every godless religion. The pride of life lies at the root of all human schemes. The religion of the scribes and the Pharisees was just another form of the sin of Rehoboam. Look at verse 28. Listen to him as if he is really interested in the people. It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. He pretended that it was for their convenience and advantage that these golden gods were set up. The religion that is born in the carnal heart can only make hypocrites. It was contrary to the word of God. Verse 28. God never said that any worship would do. God never said one church is just as good as another. God never said that it does not matter whatever a man or woman pray. God never said it doesn't matter whether a woman pray in public or preach. Jeroboam was walking by sight and not by faith. Look at verse 33. The Bible says the thing became a sin. His thought was sin. The place of worship was sin. The act of worship was sin. Because he did all of this contrary to the word of God. It did not matter what his intentions were. It was still a sin. It didn't matter what they could have been killed going to Jerusalem. It was still a sin because it was contrary to the word of God. Look at verse 31 coming back. When Jeroboam made the decision to set up idols, he committed himself to a whole range of sinful innovations. The idols, listen, the idols necessitated a holy place, a priesthood, and a complete religious system. He selected his own priesthood, not from the tribe of Levi as God did, but he had to have his own priesthood. Oh, could we pause a moment? Sometimes I look around the church today and I see us establishing our own leadership in the church. The only leadership in the New Testament church, my friends, is an eldership, not a deaconship. There is no place. I know some folks will go to Acts chapter 6. But that doesn't talk about an office, but rather a work. If those men in Acts chapter 6 were officers, so was the sister in Romans chapter 16. And she was not an officer. She did a work. She was a servant like those men were called upon to assist the apostles in doing the daily work. God's leadership is the eldership. Where there is no eldership, and these are my words, where there is no eldership, the preacher has the responsibility of bringing the church to the point where it can have scriptural leadership. He will not be that leadership for the rest of the church life. His job is to train the church and to train men to the point where the church can have scriptural leadership. Yes, there are too many Jeroboams in the church today. And we need to recognize that God has been warning us to do his will. Again, look again. The place of worship was to be Jerusalem. The one in Jerusalem was on the 15th day in the 7th month. Now look what Jeroboam does. He establishes his own worship on the 15th day of the 8th month. He wanted to do just like the real one. But it was not real. It was counterfeit. God had it on the 15th day of the 7th month. Jeroboam had his on the 15th day of the 8th month. His religious system was one that resembled the true religion of God that had been revealed through Moses, which was being practiced in Jerusalem. But what Jeroboam did was counterfeit religion. There are many religious groups which resemble the Church of Christ, but they are mere shams. They are counterfeit churches, and they are empty of God-given authority. But listen, I like to say it this way. Even those among us that seem want to go the Jeroboam's way, they are also counterfeit. You can have the right name, worship on the same day, and preach the same plan of salvation. But if your worship has been corrupted, then you are another Jeroboam with counterfeit religion. The Bible is sufficient to meet all our needs. My friends, the Bible says the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is enough. We don't need anything else. If you follow the word of God, you can't go wrong. In some ways, listen to me, even our vocabulary has changed. We now sound like our religious friends. Just to hear us talk sometimes, some of the words we use, we borrow them from our religious neighbors. And don't know. And we just seem not to know, not to care. Maybe we'll go back to the prophet that says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Something is wrong, desperately wrong. It is easy for sectarians to perceive the errors committed by Jeroboam, but their eyes are closed so that they cannot see that they have done the same thing. Now let's take a moment and look at counterfeit religion today. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Do you notice the language? For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves entering among you or among the eldership, not sparing the flock. Elders, God expects you to oversee, to shepherd, yes, his flock. God expects you to know what's going on in the church. Even when a preacher comes and he preaches some other doctrine or begin to act the fool from the pulpit. Oh, I can't tell you this. I could only tell you what we do at Cassidy Road. Ask them, they'll tell you. Brother Branch, we invite somebody to do a gospel meeting, and he start acting the fool. We tell him to sit down, take his money, and leave. As simple as that. It is not my business to establish friends. For that matter, I don't want to be friends to some of our preachers. We will call them fornicating preachers who preach on Sunday and visit the widow's house on Monday. It's time that we take a stand for the right. If we don't, and the flock goes astray, you are going to be held responsible according to what is written in Hebrews chapter 13. God is going to hold the eldership responsible. And if you cannot have these people are responsible for their souls, you ought to turn them over to the devil. Because some folks just don't want to do right. Listen, where are we? Paul says, for I know this, After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not spreading the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. I don't need to comment on that. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It is counterfeit religion if worship includes mechanical instruments of music. Oh, we know that. Wonderful, and we have become so smart. Brother John, we have become so smart that we don't have to have a literal guitar or an organ. We can do it with our mouth. But we still are wrong, because the Bible still says, sing. And in singing we are teaching. And you can't teach by the beatbox. I challenge anyone to say they can teach by a sound and not by words, when the Bible says words. We have gone too smart for ourselves. We have figured out, well, if we want to win the world to Christ, we have to do something extra. My friends, the Word of God has not lost its power. God is not divorced from His Word. They are still the same. The same gospel that where 3,000 were converted on Pentecost, if the same gospel is preached now, it will get the same results. But it takes hard work. Listen. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 9, Paul says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You know the verses? It's counterfeit religion if organization is unscriptural. Just like we mentioned in the Lord's church. Christ is the only head of the church. He is the authority. And when the church would first start in Jerusalem, the apostles were the leaders of the church in Jerusalem until such times as the church was scattered, then elders began to be ordained in every church. At the end of chapter 11 of the book of Acts, we find elders in the church at Jerusalem. And we don't know when they were established, but they were there at the end of chapter 11. Because we are told, when the monies that had been collected to feed the brethren in Judea, the money was brought to the elders, who distributed the money to those who had need. Listen. Counterfeit religion if organization is wrong. Counterfeit religion if women have leading roles in the church. Read 1 Timothy. Notice again 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want us to look at especially verse number 8 beginning. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to challenge your thinking tonight. Notice what he says in verse 8. Paul says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, and this is masculine gender. And men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Listen to the next words. In like manner, also women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Let me put it in modern day town. As the men lead, the women look good. That's what it is. And we're both equal in the worship, but with different roles. That's what Paul's saying. Because we lead, don't mean that we are better than the women. No, when they dress modestly and they look like godly women, they're equal to us when we lead. So don't, I see the cry, the battle cry in the church for women to have more roles or bigger roles. Then you are taking yourself outside of where God wants you to be. And only God can dictate what he wants in his church and in his worship. Ladies and gentlemen, look, I can see this in my own life. My wife and I have been married for 46 years, almost 47. And it is only God who gave her to me. Because I didn't worth looking much. But God equalized it and brought her to me. Without her, I can never succeed at preaching. Now, you see her being looking all innocent? Now, that's just a put on. You see, after I'm through preaching, if by chance I make a mistake, before I get to the hotel, I'm reminded of the mistake I just made. That is wonderful. Sometimes I want to scream, but I know she's right. So I just got to be quiet. There's a reason why she's there. There's a reason why she is with me every time I preach. Because I have someone to look at, and sometimes she will have to be doing this. Because she knows my mouth. And when she starts doing that, I start looking away. I don't want to see. Mm-mm. She's saying, don't say it. Don't say that, Glasgow. And I don't want to hear that. So I'm looking away. But I'm seeing her shaking her head. Listen. But we are saying this to make a point. God knew what he was doing. Look at the rest of the page, of the chapter. And you will see what God does. Now, just like the man leads and he preaches, the fact of bearing children is almost equal. Every woman might not bear a child, but she represents every woman. God gave something to her that he didn't give to me, and I'm thankful. And put us together with Christ, it makes us complete. Counterfeit religion. If the Lord's Supper is not taken weekly. We are graduating. You notice that these days. I use the term graduating. We don't have to do certain things anymore. But the scripture is still right. The Bible teaches us by a statement of fact. It teaches us by command. And it teaches us by divine example. If those are not present, then there are no necessary inferences. But there must be a command, a statement, or an example. When we teach anything, there must be an example, or a statement, or a command. Listen, there is no command to meet on the first day of the week, but there is an example. Acts chapter 20. The church came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Paul stayed with them almost 7 days just to worship with the church. And to partake of the Lord's Supper. Why is that so important? It is important because it commemorates the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and looks forward to his coming again. That's why we the Lord's Supper. It's not another meal. No, my friends. It is in memory of what Christ did for us and the fact that he is coming again. Counterfeit religion. If money is publicly collected on a regular basis on any other day than the first day of the week. Oh, I know that's the problem. I know it. But it is not a casino road. We have come to the place. It is nice sometimes when the church gave us something extra. But when the church passes the basket on Wednesday night, it's against the will of God. You can do what you want personally to help any cause. But the early church met on the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and they gave. Where some might say, well, we want to have a love offering. 1 Corinthians 16 was a love offering. It was to meet the needs of those who were in a famine in Judea. That's why Paul says, when I come, you won't have to do it anymore. And when was it taken? On the first day of the week. Book, chapter, and verse. We got to stay with the Bible. Listen, we are about ready to close. Jeroboam's religion is the religion of one church is just as good as another. And there's no such thing in the scriptures. Christ says in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I know there are many interpretations to that gates of hell, but I want to show you something else tonight. You see, when Paul says, he not only says the devil can't prevent us, but he says the church is what God is going to use to break down the gates of hell with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the all-powerful word. And that word God has given to us to break down all the barriers. Whatever those barriers are, the barrier of racism, the word of God will break it down. The barrier of feminism, the word of God will break it down. Whatever barrier it is, the word of God will break it down. It's not psychology. You got problems in your marriage. It is not about being a better husband and being a better wife. It's being a better Christian. Let me just say this. Listen to this. You cannot be a bad wife and a good Christian. You can't be a bad husband and a good Christian. If you are a good Christian, you'll be a good wife or a good husband. You will follow the dictates of the word of God. And any decent Christian woman or Christian man and sees Christianity in you, he ought to rejoice and say, thank God for a Christian mate. Hear me, thank God. It's the word of God that does the work in making us what we ought to be. Again, not psychology, not counseling. Oh, they're important. But in absence of the word of God, nothing else can work but the word of God. Listen, Jeroboam's religion is there's anything or there isn't anything in a name. I remember the old preachers, when they preached that was some good preaching. Listen, nothing in a name. Do you really believe that? I know that you don't. So let me just use the old preacher's illustration. Next week you get paid. Just tell your boss to put Elliot Glasgow's name on that check. That's all. Remember, a name isn't important. So anybody's name on that check will work. Or hard work. I know you don't believe that. But yet in religion, you believe that. There is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one name. That is the name of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter mentioned Moses and Elijah, the voice says, this is my beloved Son Christ, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. That's the name that is important. That's why we call ourselves Christians after the name of Christ. That's why the church is called after him, because it is his church. It belongs to him. He is the architect. He is the builder. He is the everything. It's his church. And I'm one of those who believe that the church has a name. Yes, there are other designations. When it comes to government, the church is a kingdom. When it comes to organization, the church is a body. When it comes to worship, the church is a temple. When it comes to wealth, the church is the vineyard of the Lord. But the church belongs to Christ. It's His, and it's His alone. And I pray God to give me the strength and the ability to preach this until I die. Because Christ has never failed, and He won't now. Jeroboam's religion is the church really doesn't make a difference. We're all trying to get to the same heaven. Ask Jeroboam. He said it didn't make any difference where you go to worship. So he established two other places. And he found out the hard way. That won't work. God had at this time had established His worship one place in Jerusalem. And it didn't matter how long they had to travel. It was still Jerusalem. It doesn't matter if they didn't have transportation. It was still Jerusalem. And Jeroboam had no right. Listen to the man. He says, it's not good for you to go to Jerusalem. What audacity. This boy could think that he could establish something equal to the Lord. What presumptuousness that someone could go to Memphis, Tennessee, start a church, or to Little Rock, Arkansas, start a church, and say this is the Lord's church. The Lord has already had His church started in Jerusalem. The first Pentecost after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. And that's the one. You see, if you read this Bible, that's the only church you'll find in it. That's the only church. And that's the one we bring to you today. It is not the most popular. We're not trying to be. We're just trying to be right. That's all that is important, trying to be right. And sometimes being right is not easy, because you got to say what's wrong for people to see what's right. Listen. So these statements show the shallow thinking which exists in religious circles today, even at times in our own midst. Look at the church, my friends, at Corinth. The Apostle Paul went to Corinth. He preached the gospel, Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. And many of the Corinthians herein believed and were baptized. But notice again what happened. Paul wrote to the church of Christ at Corinth. And he reminded them of what had happened in chapter 6. But listen, how did they become members of the church? Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, they heard the gospel, how that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, lived among men, how He performed miracles, how He spoke in parables, how He healed the sick, He made the lame to walk again, He caused the blind to see, how He walked upon the waters. They told the story well. And how that, my friends, in His last week He went up to the Garden of Gethsemane. He went up there and he prayed to his heavenly Father, because what God had sent him to do was on his mind. But in his humanity, he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we are told that they took him from Gethsemane, marched him to the streets of Jerusalem, and from judgment hall to judgment hall. And the people cried out, crucify him. All that he went through was because of us. Then they took him up to Golgotha's hill. You remember how they put that cross on his shoulders. And he bore the cross up the hill until he stumbled. And there waited in the wings was that man to bear the cross. And sometimes we have to listen to the words of the songwriter. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? and all the world go free. Now there's a cross for everyone, but most of all, there's a crown for me. Oh, consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. He went to Calvary, and just imagine, as he is nailed to the cross and they took that heavy wooden beam and they dropped it in the hole. Remember the agony and the pain that he had to suffer for me. You know something? I believe with all my heart that if I was the only man on earth, that Jesus would have died for me. I believe that if I was the only person in this world, he would have died for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, my friends, of what God did for us. Christ went to Calvary. He died. He was buried. And we are told he rose up again from the grave. And before he left this earth, he called his disciples together and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Not long after that, after he ascended to heaven, Peter on Pentecost preached. The Bible says after he had talked about God beforehand planned for the death of Christ, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom we have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly receive his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then verse 47 says, praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is the beauty of the church of Christ. You don't join it. No, my friends, you don't join the church. We don't put you in the church. We can't pray you in the church. No, my friends, God is the only one who adds you to his church. Just imagine that Jesus, after you have been baptized for the remission of sins, he puts you into the Presbyterian church. Does that make any sense? Why would he put you there when he's got his own church to put you in? The Lord wants to add you to his church tonight. If you are willing to repent of your sins, because I know you're here, and I believe that you believe that Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, but you need to begin the process of change. You need to make up your mind right now. I don't want to be in a man-made religion. I don't want to be in sin. I want Christ to save me tonight. He can and he will if you complete your obedience by being baptized tonight for the remission of your sins. Isn't that wonderful? You can do that tonight. And even sometimes, those of us who've been baptized, we mess up sometimes. But thank God for a second chance. You got it now. Why don't you take advantage of it? Come as together we stand and sing. Oh, gentle Savior.
you so much, Brother Glasgow. Such a powerful lesson tonight. As we talk about Jeroboam and that counterfeit religion. How sad it is that so many people today are wrapped up in counterfeit religion. We would that you would seriously and honestly study the Bible. Make sure that you're in the right religion. It is the religion of the Lord. That's the only religion that will do you any good. Thank you so much again, Brother Glasgow. We thank God for you. We would say tonight that if we have